Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Jim. Simply fantastic. How about yourself?
Excellent. Doing all right. And actually, we have a special guest tonight. As our little description said, episode number 90, Straight Talk, Aerosol Solutions with Dr. David Crank. Doctor, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, Han and I were discussing before the show, and we got you on the line, that you actually reached out to Han, I believe, in one of the forums, and that's how we got introduced to you. But to our listeners, Aerosol Solutions with David here have got some really, really interesting things. And we wanted to spend today's show just really kind of opening up to David and let him go over the things that he's able to provide. We've always been doing this show for one reason and one reason only, and that's for education. You know, we've always felt it's important that the more information's out there, the easier it is for you to make a decision, at least an educated one. And so this falls perfectly in line. So with that, David, could you give us a little bit of a background on how you got to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on here. It's a pleasure to be here and to share with your audience. I'm a general dentist. I practiced dentistry in the mountains of North Carolina and was quite content with that. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you told me that this was, we're going to be having a conversation about this, I probably would have just laughed and said, well, it doesn't seem too far off, but that still seems like a pretty crazy idea. But when the pandemic was coming our way, and you know, I realized, well, this is going to impact us somehow. How, you know, is the ultimate question. I decided to take it on myself to research it to the highest level that I could. Even went so far as to review virology, my virology class notes, and refresh myself on viruses. But in that research process, I realized, crud, we've got a snowball coming, you know, rolling down the mountain at us, picking up speed, and we're going to get slammed here, dealing with an airborne virus. And curiously, this was not a topic for debate really early on. It was just sort of, you know, pretty well established. And there were several research articles, journal articles, things along those lines that really supported that as one of the routes of transmission. And then somewhere along the line, the CDC took out some of that wording, and that kind of created some confusion. Whereas just I think 2 or maybe it was 3 days ago, they've come out and updated again what they've said, and have emphasized the aerosol aspect of this virus and its transmission route. It took some really smart aerosol scientists, I think, to kind of shake them hard enough to get their attention. But they listened and paid attention and have updated some of that information that they're putting out there. But that's kind of what I was looking at. I was seeing this coming, and I was thinking, well, great. You know, who's got the solution out there? And I started looking around, and I was aware of the, I'm just going to call them the shop vac solutions, because that's pretty much what they are. They're a shop vac with a flexible arm, or an articulating arm attached to it that you would position near the patient's mouth and suction things out. And this was, you know, it was sort of a fringe thing used in America in offices that really emphasize the dangers of mercury vapors released in placing or removing amalgam fillings. Those were sort of the only offices using it. And I say fringe because that wasn't like, that's not a mainstream sort of thing. Like most offices weren't dressing up in hazmat suits to remove these fillings. And some of them were. And so I knew that was an option that was out there. But the last thing I wanted was another physical object down on the floor, you know, another mobile cart, so to say, in my operatories as a solution for this issue, and especially another noise generating one. I'm sure many dentists who listen to this just said, "Huh?" as I said that, because they've also got probably ringing in their ears and hearing loss related to doing dentistry like I do. And I'm just not interested in having a lot of noise in my operatories. I don't even like the noise that's in there. I have fancy earbuds that block out a lot of the high frequency noises and turn up the volume on the voices so that I can hear the conversations but not damage my hearing in the process. So anyway, that wasn't something that to me really appealed. And in my head, I began picturing what this should look like. And then I started looking to see if somebody had come up with this. And then in my mind, I imagined an arm that's mounted within each operatory or within the facility, you know, around each, somewhere in the vicinity of each chair. It could be off of the ceiling or the wall or the floor or something along those lines. And it would be able to be positioned real close to the patient's mouth. And so that's what I started looking for. And I realized after doing, you know, lots of internet searching that this was not something that was out there, at least as far as I could tell. And I started doing patent searches and I found a company that had something kind of like it that was in Japan. The only issue was their system, I came to later find out after kind of conversing with them. In fact, this was after we had even filed our patent. Their system was based on a vacuum system, which in my mind was a reasonable approach, using the vacuum pumps to do this. And so I, because I realized, and I contacted that company and I said, "Hey, I'll be happy to bring your product to the United States." And they're like, "Well, you know, we don't have approval of whatever to bring this to your country. So, you know, I'm sorry, but we can't do that." And I thought, well, okay, so these guys aren't going to solve my problem for me. And I thought, and I looked around at everybody else, and this is when they started, there started being murmurs of these little shop vacs being used. And I thought, well, that's definitely not the solution I'm looking for. It really needs to be mounted in the room. It needs to look like it belongs in a dental office. It needs to sound quiet. It needs to not take up space and be a tripping hazard for patients and staff. And so that's when this really kind of took off for me. And I really didn't want to pick this up and run with it because I knew it was going to be a lot of work, and it has been. However, that said, I feel like we have come up with what is as far as I can tell, I'll say it this way, the most powerful air cleaning, you know, airborne pathogen trapping system out there for dentistry in particular, and then for smaller medical settings. Hospitals have things. I think there's an aspect here that's probably a little more powerful than even what most hospitals are using, which is the built-in, the arm side of things. But that said, we're not aiming for hospitals. There's a lot more hurdles to jump over with that. We're much more interested in you know, I'm interested in helping my fellow dentists out with this system. So what we came up with after I contacted the vacuum manufacturers out there was basically a vacuum pump that's big enough to generate the amount of suction force and capture the amount of airflow needed to really do this well was going to be insufficient, or else you'd have to kind of have an extra addition onto your dental office to house your vacuum pumps to do this because it was going to take really, really big pumps. And that's what the manufacturer told me. They're like, no, we don't do anything like that. That's huge. So I started looking into other options, and then after doing much research, realized that air filtration was a way that would do this quite effectively. And so since then, I've digested a couple books on air filtration, and many, many, many journal articles and other related technical documents that just to kind of help, you know, make sure that what we're doing is doing it the best way possible. Countless conversations with engineers and the like, and what we've come up with is a system that has source capture, which is the concept of actually capturing aerosols as they're leaving the patient's, I'm going to say mouth, but I want people to hear this to also be aware that it's not just what's coming out of the mouth that's an issue for us. We often think of our, I'm just going to call them artificial aerosol generation, what we're actually generating through our procedures that wouldn't naturally be generated, at least not to that level. So we're thinking about blasting, you know, in their mouths with air and water, and this is going to generate, you know, enough air current to cause the virus that's in their mouth to become aerosolized and, you know, float throughout the office. However, there's also what they're exhaling. They're biological aerosols that we need to factor in here. And so the biological aerosols should be part of our equation, which is I've looked at everything out there, everything that's been created since this has begun, everything that was out there beforehand. And a lot of it only focuses on the mouth, and it's only capturing what's in the mouth, exception being these shop vac units. They can do much more because they're not a little HVE attachment using another high volume evacuation line. They're also using this air filtration principle, questionably so with many of them. There are a few that I think probably have legitimate filters in them, but most of them I would actually call the question their actual filters. What's under the hood in those things? I've seen videos and pictures of these, as well as seeing some in person. So we are using air filtration as the overarching principle here. Once I realized that just using air, moving air was going to be the most powerful way to create the amount of airflow needed, the amount of suction force necessary to really capture aerosols effectively, you know, we considered, and I say we here, I've got a partner in this business, we considered the route of simply exhausting outdoors, which would be the equivalent of robbing yourself blind when it comes to heating and cooling bills. But then when it comes to the demand that we place on our HVAC equipment, it would really, really begin to put a strain on that equipment and shorten its lifespan considerably. Because it's not made to make up, say, in a small office, let's say 6 operatories or 7 operatories, somewhere in that range, we're probably pulling 2,000 cubic feet of air out of there continuously per minute. And there's really not heating and air equipment that's for a setting of that size that's designed to replenish that. It's not a winning scenario. And so, you know, we X that one off the list. And that's when I've always had a fascination with airflow and air movement, and have always tried to manipulate it to however, you know, whatever it was I was trying to accomplish. And it just was real plain to me that we could create not only powerful suction, we could filter the entire office air, we could generate negative pressure, isolation rooms. If desired, we could actually convert the operatories into negative pressure isolation rooms, as well as generate protective airflow that would look out for the front desk staff or the front office staff or the break room to kind of keep that area safe. And so that's what we've got. That's what we've designed. And early on, the question was, how do you put it all together? Boy, we've got this thing licked now. We have some outstanding engineers who have come alongside of us, who are working with us to help with the layout of everything. I basically went to them and I said, I don't think the heating and air guys have this figured out. This is what they did, and this using my office as kind of the guinea pig office out there, the experimental site where we can do all kinds of weird things and, you know, just to see what works and what doesn't. I said, I don't really like this at all. Here's what I think they should have done. Do you agree with this, or do you think there's something better? They said, no, absolutely. What you're saying they should have done is the right way to do it. And so we've got this system now to where if somebody orders from us, we take a copy of their blueprints, their, you know, floor plan. You know, once they pay a deposit toward the system, then we get a copy of their blueprints, and we do a schematic design. And I shared with you guys one of the schematics we've done, and an office we're actually have coming up installation. Part of it's going to be this weekend. And we draw out the schematic, and if, let's say, they're on the other side of the country. I'm in North Carolina. If they're in California, then we've got this down to where all you need are two handymen. Two decent handymen should be able to install this entire system for you in your office. You don't need highly sophisticated ones. We've got our guys. They're well-trained. We just can't send them all the way across the country for everything. So we understood that, and we realized if we could just get this to where we can get a couple of handymen to be able to do this, and maybe an electrician for the final connection to our fan, then we've got it to where we can basically help everybody out there. And so we take the schematic, we send it back to you, your handyman will take it, they'll climb up in a ladder, they'll look above your ceiling, or if we're going to come up through the floors, they'll go down in your crawl space or down in the basement, basically whatever it is, and they will just make sure that they have clearance to be able to run the ducts, the ductwork that we'll be sending in those spaces. And if that is available, then we, you know, collect the remainder of the fee, and we go ahead and we finish designing the system. And with that comes a final design that actually shows how the pieces go together. And it's a step-by-step basic guide that that shows we're sending the important the ductwork that needs to be necessary ductwork for the system that doesn't collapse under the amount of negative pressure we're generating here, suction force, and it shows how to put all of that together, and you know, it's down to the foot. We send extra, but we, you know, we've got it down to where basically anybody could say, yes, I want this in my office. I don't know for sure you can do it, but you know, here's the deposit. If we can do it, great. If we can't do it, we refund the deposit. And you know, no harm done. We tried. There actually are creative ways to do it in every single office out there. I'll just go ahead and put that out there for anybody who's willing. There are creative ways to do it that are not architecturally not so pleasing. I think you guys might appreciate that. so, you know, that's where we are. That's what we've been doing here for the last about 4 months now. When we launched this publicly, we filed a patent on the system. Once we realized that if we just start doing this, somebody bigger, a little, maybe, you know, a little more ties, a little more influence may basically take our idea and then box us out and, you know, patent it or something. So we went through the necessary steps there to just protect it. And ultimately, I wanted to keep this system a very realistically priced system. I'm a dentist. I'm tired of the dental supply reps saying, oh yeah, here's your price, doc. And you know, you look at it and you're like, I'm pretty sure if I go to eBay or Amazon, I could get it for a third or a half of that price. And so we have this thing extremely well priced. And, you know, ultimately the goal here is to, you know, just forward safety here, to advance safety among the dental profession. To backtrack it a little bit further, we have documents going back, I want to say it's the late 60s is the earliest study I've read, where there was a clear understanding that once we began using air water, you know, high blasting air water syringes and air-powered handpieces, these sorts of things, that we were generating aerosols. and that those aerosols contain blood, saliva, bacteria, viruses, fungi that are in our mouths, and that that was going up into the air and that was hovering in the air. And there have even been instances, several kind of isolated outbreaks of where the bacteria in the water lines have caused that have been become aerosolized and then become inhaled, been inhaled by the patients, have caused an outbreak of sorts of that going on. So the air in dental offices has never really truly been clean, and we've known about it for a while, but nobody's really done anything to advance that. And I'm just excited that we've got something here that really advances that for dental offices, and we can take it from as simple as directional airflow that's coming into operatory spaces, or directional airflow that's keeping air from, let's say it's an open bay concept, from the open bay side from escaping out into the waiting area side or the front office side. We're doing all that throughout the entire office. It's fun. It's neat. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, every day my staff has been like, you know, you should have been an inventor or something, because every day I'm always coming up with some new harebrained idea. And normally I'm like, yeah, this is just a $1 million idea. I don't know if it's really worth the effort. And then when we came up with this one, I was like, all right, well, it needs to be done. This is something that people really would benefit from, especially now. This is the never get shut down again because of an airborne pandemic or any kind of disease going around, because we're able to take that risk down to such a low number that it's a percentage compared to everywhere else. It's going to be one of the safest places to be. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when the CDC says, oh, you know, dental offices need to shut down again. And then I get to write them a letter and say, I've tested the air in my office, and this is what we've shown. I'm willing to put money on it that the air in my office is cleaner than the air at the CDC.
So, that will be nice.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
so anyway, there you go.
Let's
throw that out as my start.
Yeah, I've included in the description, because it's hard to describe over the radio. We were kind of talking about that before the show, that, you know, graphically to describe what this system looks like. So I've included a link to your website on our show outline. So anyone that's interested can click on that and go to your website and actually physically see the system and see all the cool things that you have there. But as we describe it, you're talking about an articulating arm that comes from a wall or from a ceiling, or could come from the floor, I think, as you described before. Mm-hmm. And
correct.
That it sets, basically, you've got a clear hood, a shield that sets right over the patient. It doesn't enclose them, so it's not like this claustrophobic kind of thing. I kind of evaluate it this way. If I were to sit there in the chair, would I freak out? And the answer is no.
Right.
And Han
right.
and I discussed that. We would not freak out because it's not like there's something that's totally enclosed around us and we're feeling like this claustrophobic situation. It's basically a shield or a hood, if you want to best describe it. And you can basically create a suction that is done by not the HVAC equipment, correct? It is a unit.
Correct.
Right. Independent.
Yes, this is a standalone system.
Yeah, standalone. And that's the interesting, cool thing about it, because you're not trying to make your existing system do something that it was never designed to do. That's one of the
correct.
Problems we ran into when we were doing our evaluation. A lot of people came to us and say, can I just put a heavy filter, you know, put a high-end HEPA filter into my existing mechanical system and call it a day? And we all know the answer is no, because it'll destroy the system. You'll get zero airflow and get no protection. Because you create a static pressure that's so high that no air flows whatsoever. So
right.
I want to.
Anybody who is just listening and maybe can't see it, the website is www.dental, aerosolsolutions.com. And I've since we came up with the name of Aerosol Solutions for our company, we realized how many really, really smart people out there don't know how to spell aerosol, so don't feel bad if you don't know. But it is AEROSOL. Dental, AEROSOL, solutions.com, solutions, plural. And that is that's the website. And I want to make a comment there. What you see on the website is not the whole picture. We actually have we have two other attachments right now that are available to anybody, to everybody to get instead of the one that's shown where the dentist is working over the patient. And that's me in the video, not wearing my N95 mask because I had to do the interview portion of the video immediately after, and it just doesn't work too well having these lines across your face for an interview. But we've developed a couple of other attachments that are flexible that we actually prefer in our office and in other offices for the dentist and assistant side. And we're working on actually getting another hood that is even more effective on that side as well. But we found it to be a little hard to work under that. Instead we're able to get the suction very close to the mouth, kind of locating it below the chin. If you picture a patient laying supine in a chair, it's just below their chin. And it's very powerfully pulling the aerosols and a lot of that splatter that's generated into the line rather than going out into the air. Sorry, I just wanted to interject that. The website right now does not tell that whole story, and we've you know, like I said, we're developing products. We've just gotten out of starting gates here just, you know, several months ago. But we've gone a really long way. The system itself, everything about it is really top notch. The way I sought to design the system, the components for sourcing it, everything was I want to sell the system. I would want somebody else to sell me. And you know, it's that treat others the way you want to be treated principle. And so the arms we're using are laboratory grade arms. They are highly chemically resistant to just about anything you throw at them. They're very easily cleaned and wipe down. The ductwork we use is an industrial ductwork. It's a flexible ductwork, and that's what we put in our systems. It's very strong, durable stuff, and it's made to last. It's just made to last. The fan itself is also an industrial level fan, and it packs a lot into a small footprint, which is what we needed. And the engineers that deal with these kinds of fans that we work with say it's not uncommon at all for them to go into a facility and the fan that was installed 20 years ago is still running without any problems. And so that's what we're using here. When it comes to filtration, we've partnered with the leading manufacturer worldwide when it comes to the technology and science of filtration. To get the best products that we can get, we started with a pre-filter in the filtration housing inside of there. We started with a pre-filter that needed to be changed monthly, but have since graduated to one that only needs to be changed annually. And we're talking about, you know, this one filter. Each filter is able to handle up to 2,000 cubic feet of airflow per minute. That airflow rate. And that running all day long, every day, nonstop in a dental office, you just cut it on in the morning when you get there, cut it off, and you know, at the end of the day when you finish, that it's able to last an entire year. That's the pre-filter. We've got a gas phase media filter, which is to pull out the volatile organic compounds in the air, the nitrous gas that you know we may use in our offices. The odors, there's a lot of not so great, you know, smells coming out of people's mouths. And if you think about recirculating that air in your office, that could be a concern for somebody who's listening, I imagine. But but I gave them a list of all of the molecules that have been implicated in generating these odors of halitosis, of bad mouth odors, and their engineers cross-referenced these odors with the active components of this these filters, these active carbon filters, basically, and have affirmed that yes, every single one of those will be pulled out of the air by this, by the filter that we're using. And then lastly, the HEPA filter that we use. Most people don't know what a real HEPA filter looks like. They've never touched one. They've never picked one up. And all they've seen is something that looks like a single slice pizza box, or maybe it's a whole pizza box. And they were told that that was a HEPA filter, but it's not. A HEPA filter is there is one exception to that, and only one, and I can almost guarantee you that that anyone listening has not seen that filter. I said almost guarantee. There may be an exception out there, but the HEPA filter is 11.5 inches thick, and the standard size is 2 feet by 2 feet by 1 foot is how they measure it. But you take off a half inch, so it's 23.5 by 23.5 by 11.5, and they weigh 60 pounds. And they have a metal frame if they're going into any sort of application like this. From what I've read, they got away from the wooden framed ones and the fiberboard framed ones several decades ago, at least were recommended to. And so they basically have a steel frame or an aluminum frame, and they weigh 60 pounds. And there's sheets of basically fiberglass that are kind of in an accordion arrangement. They're folded up inside of this. And in between these now pleats of fiberglass sheets that are folded are these thin sheets of aluminum, like aluminum foil, basically, that stick out from the face of the front and the backside of these filters. And they're really fragile filters, and they're really powerful filters. We use a filter that exceeds what is used commonly in hospital operating rooms, what the requirement is, and is even a greater filter than what's found on the International Space Station. The only reason I don't have even more filters in there is because the housing for this thing is already a little big, a little bit on the big side. And when they accommodated everything we need, we ended up with a housing that ended up being 4 feet tall. And that was just more than we were looking for, because we're trying to fit this into utility closets and the like. So, but that's, just to give you a taste of it, we're using really, really high quality components. We have a controller for the entire system that controls the fan. And it also is just top-notch quality. And you can locate an on-off switch remotely, wired off of that. It's all simple. It's all easily put together. And the technical support, there's a little bit of programming of that that we've not brought in-house just yet. We're working on that. But you get on the phone for free with an electrical engineer who basically tells you exactly what to do and programs it for you, and they test it, and it's good to go. So, yeah, it's really high-quality components, really high-caliber technical support that you get. And, anybody who uses their own installers, we will walk them through that process. We don't just send the directions and say, all right, bye-bye. Thanks, thanks for your money, We get on the phone, and we talk with them, and we're creating a video library right now showing installers how to put all this together. So our goal is to provide the highest level support as well.
Excellent, excellent. But just so our listeners have a chance to really visualize the amount of power that this system has, 2,000 cubic feet per minute, that's a room that's 20 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet. So picture that, 20 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet. That whole room's air is sucked through this system in 1 minute. That's a lot of air.
Do you want to visualize what that the room of that size? That would be a single car garage with a 10-foot ceiling.
Exactly. And that's a lot of air per minute that's coming through this system. And it is a central system, correct, Doc?
It is, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So one unit will cover multiple operatories. What happens if you get into a, let's say, a moderately larger size setting? So let's say if you have 10 or 12 ops, do you still have one unit or do you go to multiple units?
So the standard approach is we ask a question we've learned to ask, and that is, how much room do we have for this?
Right.
because I mean, ultimately, we've got to put this somewhere. And so there would be a time, I mean, I can think of multiple scenarios where zoning would make sense and using, multiple smaller units, and the unit being the arm mounted in the room, the ductwork, the filtration, and then the fan, and then the ductwork bringing that air back. But that, there would be times where maybe the space would dictate that that's the better way to do it. Maybe we have to split between a couple of different locations to house the equipment, or that one room, it actually would make more sense to just use these smaller pieces. But no, we size it up. We size it up. We can get to, we've not pushed the limit of what we can do here. But we can get up to around 7,000 to 8,000 cubic feet per minute with it being in one system. So let's say it's like a dental school or something. We would be zoning there. We would not be trying to do this with one fan. Noise reasons, just vibration, all these things. We don't want that. And on that note, the sound level generated by the fan itself in most systems for most offices is going to be, well, actually, it's right in line with whatever the vacuum pumps are generating, that level of noise. The compressors that we use are louder. When they kick on, they're a good deal louder than the fans. And so the fan's really the only thing generating noise in our system at all. In the actual patient operatories, what's the hood or the shield that's hovering over their head or, just below their chin while we're working on them, depending on how fast we push the system, and I'll also throw in what size arm they want to use. Some offices may actually opt for the larger arm. Our standard size, and this is what we recommend, is a 2.5-inch arm. That's the diameter, the interior diameter of the tube. But we also have a 3-inch arm. Wouldn't really recommend above that. I think it's overkill to get the amount of suction we need at the mouth, because the whole point of the arm is source capture. It's capturing the dangerous stuff being emitted at its emission source, which is the face, okay, the mouth and the nose, like I said. We don't need a massive arm to do that. But if we would just want to generate more airflow, we use auxiliary air intakes, ceiling intakes that we place in the operatories that work together with the arms to move air, to pull air into that operatory, and where it's going to get pulled into the system, filtered at a higher level, that it comes out cleaner than what they use in hospital operating rooms, which, everybody just needs to understand that those are positive pressure rooms. They fill them up with more air than is removed from them, so that air is kind of leaking out underneath doorways. That's how those rooms are set up. And the air that's brought in is so clean. It has to be so clean because we've got people, I mean, they're cut wide open, and we're doing all kinds of surgeries in their bodies. And if anything gets in there, I mean, it could kill them. It could be the death of them. And so we're once that air gets sucked out of our operatories, back to the dental office, once it gets sucked out of those operatories, it goes through this filtration that returns air that is cleaner than, higher level filtration than what they have in hospital operating rooms. And for that matter, the space station, which you have to figure, well, they can't just roll down the window when the air goes south up there. They have to filter it. And so filtration is critical for life, in outer space. And so what we're using is higher level filtration than even what they're using.
Well, as we reviewed it,
I have a question, Dave.
Well, as we reviewed it, though, the one thing that's very important is the air that is being recirculated goes back into the building system. It's not thrown away, so it's not wasted. So you're not throwing cash out the window or cash out the door to condition that air again over and over and over again, for example, as compared to something that throws the air outside. So that's a very, very, very important point with your system. Han, go ahead.
Yes. Actually, Jim, that is one of the things that I think is a high point for David's system. You know, you see a lot, even the so-called the shop vac that Dave talked about, is that a lot of the exhaust air is being pumped out of the room or out of the building, and along with that, take the temperature air that had been heat or cool, and it's basically you're watching your money that's just kind of being thrown out of the window. David, there's a
hello.
I think we accidentally lost Han. I didn't hang up on him. Honestly, I didn't. I'd never do that. He'll call me right back, I'm sure.
I'm in the mountains of North Carolina. I expect to drop calls and to get dropped frequently.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't you, without a doubt. Han's down there in Florida, and I'm not quite sure why that happens, but we sometimes get we kind of get the bad connection. I'm not sure why that happens, but you know, that was a let's see, I'm texting him right now. Call back in. Okay, you know, that's one of the important parts of that system that, as we saw it and when
right.
we were evaluating, that's crucial. That's a game changer.
Right.
That really is a game changer because most people don't understand the amount of money that's saving over a annual period as compared to the others. So, you know.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. We do have a little bit of, I'll call it competition out there, and one of them, that's all they're doing. All they're doing is just exhausting it outdoors. And I'm just thinking, this is a terrible idea. I mean, it's going to harm the equipment, and it's going to cost a lot of money to offices to keep those things running. So, yeah, I mean, that was real big for us was, you know, for me personally was this has to really make sense. And the cost, the cost of it is, and I'm just going to put it in easy to understand terms. I was down a hygienist once we reopened, and I was down a hygienist for 3 months. In fact, and 2 months or no, I don't know, a month and a half into that, we actually had our system operational. We had it installed. We just it took forever to find guys where we live. There's a lot of demand on new construction and to get heating and air guys to come and kind of put it together. And it took a long time to get that going. But from the time it was operational till I had a hygienist again, I lost a lot of money. I'm sorry, right before that point, from the time we were back in until it was operational, because I was down a hygienist. And the actual cost to me, if I were the buyer of the system, would be equivalent to about 3.5 weeks without my hygienist. The amount of money I lose in 3.5 weeks without my hygienist. That is such a reasonable price tag. A lot of offices right now can't find a dental hygienist anywhere. You know, and I was in their shoes for a little bit. My actual hygienist who ran for the hills and, you know, was just terrified to go out in the public, once she heard and learned about our system and understood it, she's working for me again. She's fantastic. I was really sad to lose her, so I was really happy to get her back. And I was just like, couldn't you come a little bit sooner? But yeah, I mean, so I feel that pain. I know that pain. And this is the system that's going to make other hygienists who are working elsewhere and not feeling very safe think, you know, I want to go work for that doctor over there because I've heard about that system and I want to be somewhere that's safe. And quite frankly, that's a major issue that right now dentists are facing. And there's like online forums. For some reason, they've let me in and haven't kicked me out. But they're basically, we hate dentists. We are hygienists and we hate dentists. And that's kind of the premise of these forums. And they're just trash talking dentists all day long. And most of it has to do with this, with the coronavirus and how
right.
their dentists are just pushing them to do these things that they feel are unsafe. They're not really changing things. And they're just like, well, dentists only care about money, 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 money. And it's really sad because I know that's not the case. You know, I'm a dentist. I care about my staff. I want them to be healthy and happy and, you know, and hopefully they'll make me money at the end of the day, but that's not my driving, you know, force. But I do have a lot of bills at the end of the day that need to get paid. And so but it's just sad to see this. But on the other hand, we've heard a lot of comments now along the lines of, wow. And this was like other hygienists talking to my hygienist saying, I wish I worked for your doctor. Or online saying, I wish I could work for you. And that's because they see what we're doing. Hey, just for fun, I didn't even tell you guys this. The people at the pinnacle of knowledge when it comes to aerosols are called atmospheric chemists. And there's some engineers who are also right up there with them. They're kind of a small subset of chemistry and engineering, a very small subset. But this is pretty much all they study day in, day out. They study it in the atmosphere, and they also study it in indoor spaces. And one fellow who's one of these leading voices that just helped the CDC to realize kind of what they were missing. In fact, he just wrote an article in Time magazine. His name is Jose Luis Jimenez. He's at the University of Boulder, Colorado. But he saw our system, and they're kind of getting the word out by Twitter. I guess they found it an effective vehicle to get their message out. But he basically has been asked the question, what's your dentist do? What's your dentist do? What's your dentist do? He saw our system and said, this is exactly what I've been trying to say that dentists should do. And he always throws in, I can't endorse it because I've not seen it yet personally. But I haven't learned enough about it. I sent him information about it. And his response is, it sounds like your system is extremely well thought out. And another one of these atmospheric chemists on Twitter who was really trying to combat the idea of fogging with hypochlorous acid, which is kind of taken off out of the middle of nowhere. There's, you know, hey, they're doing it in South Korea, so maybe it's – so it must be good. Has sort of been the dentist mindset on that, and even though we don't really have much information on it, this atmospheric chemist, writing for three atmospheric chemists, said, bottom line from three atmospheric chemists, skip the chemistry, filter the air. That was his bottom line, and on his recommendations, he showed something like a laboratory arm. You know, like what we're using mounted to the ceiling and saying, why not use something like this? And I said, and then I saw that what he had posted. I said, you mean something like this? And I gave him a little information. He said something to the effect of, yes, that's exactly what dental offices should be doing. These are the people who know aerosols the best. And, you know, to me, that's I knew that was the case, but it's nice to hear it from somebody like that to say that.
Yeah, it's nice that they affirm that you're on the right track. Jim,
that's right.
Yeah, I got dropped, David. So let me just continue on what I was saying. That first of all, you know, both Jim and I, when we look at things, we're like, you know, Curious George, right? We want to know everything. So
right.
When we design offices, you know, there's things that we have to be very sensitive of, is that how cluttered does the office, you know, that treatment room look? So that mm-hmm. is one thing that we have to champion. So anything that you introduce into the space should not look like, you know, a cluttered garage. Okay. And what we have seen so far of your system, that is not the case. It's clean. It's out of the way. And like your atmospheric chemist, you know, spoke of, is that it's well thought out. you handle the, you handle the noise issue, the clutter issue, the components are a lot higher, or a lot better than all of the pieces and parts that we have seen. Okay, because I look at the first thing I look at is that, okay, it's a great looking piece of machine that everybody's pitching as the, as the solution, but how the heck do you clean them? Okay, mm-hmm. And that is important. I think you have addressed that. In terms of overall, I was, as I was talking with Jim, and we were quite intrigued of how is this, how is your system integrate into the building so that it does not affect the architecture and the engineering components that usually found in buildings. And I think if there is, if the listeners and potential buyer, is that the conversation of whether whatever system they use, particularly yours, should be spoke of early in the process, so that the design of the building of the space can integrate, effectively, so that it becomes an easy integration of everything, rather than afterward and trying to figure out what to do. Like you say that we need a closet for the fan housing. And we, we spoke previously that, it is, you basically going to need, if it's a single story building, you're going to need, basically a furnace room. Okay. So overall, everything that we've seen so far, I'm extremely optimistic of your success.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we something that these fans require is three-phase power, and that was something that was a hurdle as well for us early on. I paid an electrician $1,000 to extend three-phase from an elevator near my office in the same building to into my little utility closet, and we've since been able to overcome that hurdle. We don't need three-phase power. If we've got a single-phase power, just 120 volts, that will now power our three-phase system, and we've got a converter that's able to handle that for us. So, yeah, it's been neat. And to my goal all along was just how can we put it into an office that exists already. And I, understand how air friction works and all this instead of ductwork. I mean, I've spent over 1,000 hours studying these things since this kind of began, and smooth duct is what you want to use, but it's like, you can't do that. You can't put smooth duct above a drop down ceiling very easily. That's really hard to do and to navigate all around what's already there. So that's where we switched over to a flexible duct that's unlike anything anybody's ever seen for residential kind of commercial applications, and we're able to go around these obstacles now. And our fan and our system, we can size it up a little bit if we need to generate a little bit more power to move air through a system like that. We've got engineers who will actually do the calculations and make sure everything looks good. I will say too, one cool thing, we don't do this in-house, but we have third-party companies out there that can come and actually certify the system is filtering at the level it's designed to filter once it's installed, once it's, in the closet, in situ, in the office. And they will challenge the filters with all the same testing that's done in the factory before they're sent. So they're all coming factory certified, but they'll present the same challenges to it in the office and some different ones, and they can do the smoke testing, and that's what we guide installers on how to do, or that's what our installers do to make sure that we are generating enough airflow, we'll say negative pressure, that we're extracting enough air out of the operatory that it's going to pull air in to overcome anything like maybe when the heating and air system comes on. But these third-party companies are out there, and we actually encourage people to use them. And they'll generate a report. It's mostly gibberish because it's a whole lot of numbers. You know, it's really hard to read. But if we are provided with a copy of that, we'll print them off a certificate saying that says this was tested to clean room level testing protocol. And this office passed with this level of filtration, making the level of filtration in this office clean room level filtration. And that's just a really cool thing. You know, you can hang that certificate up in your waiting room and show your patients that you are really serious about providing a safe environment for not just yourself and your staff, but for them.
Yeah, David, is this the testing company, you know, like when a mechanical system is installed and before they finalize everything, they do a balancing, mm-hmm. they balance the system.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a task that a mechanical contractor could do, or are they special testers?
So the only ones that we've talked with tend to actually do both of these. They do the balancing side of what you're describing here as well. But specifically, they've got certifications in clean room testing. That's something
gotcha.
We'll be working on just to be able to do in-house, just so our guys can do it. But that right now, I like it having a third party do it because it's more of a true, you know, stamp
yep.
of, you know, a real certificate that means something. It's not just generated from us, by us, and we did all the testing. It's really coming from a third party, and that, I think, is a really good idea. So.
And it should. And it should. It keep honest people honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, as always, we've burnt through an hour. I know that we've touched well into the system, but this is the second time that obviously Han and I have heard this. So for the first time listeners, there's a lot to digest here. Now go to the website, learn everything you can. Obviously, if they need or have any questions, how's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, we have a form on the website they can fill out. We also have a phone number on the website, or they're welcome to email me directly. I'm happy to answer questions, and we can set up a time to talk. My email address is david@dentalaerosolsolutions.com. David@dentalaerosolsolutions.com. And, you know, I'm happy to help people directly. I understand. I'm a dentist. I'm skeptical of so many things. I was trained to be that, and I'm glad because that means that, you know, I'm more inclined to land on a right solution as a result. And I understand how, you know, my fellow dentists are the same way. Everybody's skeptical. There are some people who are like, oh my goodness, I got to do something. And they'll just buy anything right away without
yeah.
really going through the, you know, the critical steps. That's something I really appreciate about you, talking with you guys was you understood it to a high level. I've not found that among anybody else except for some aerosol scientists. And I think that's about it. But you understood, actually, you're the only ones who I've talked to that have actually understood all of these different components that really dentists are facing. So that's been really neat. So, you know, just for what that's worth, you know, anybody who's interested in architectural work here for dental offices, I am impressed as a dentist and as someone who's become something more close to an aerosol scientist as a result of all of this and, you know, filtration expert, that the level of knowledge you guys bring to the table. So that's really cool. But I'm happy to answer those questions directly and to, you know, help everybody with all the questions. There's tons of research out there and we've got it. We're going to be posting that on our website shortly, with easy links to find the answers. So,
yeah. Well, we have,
David, thank you for the compliment.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yes, you're
thank
welcome.
You. We really do enjoy, spending time like this and getting this kind of information out to all of our listeners, because it's too important. We feel like you do that, you know, the people, the dentists that are out there going, oh man, I got to do something, and they get taken advantage of. You know, that really hurts us. That really hurts Han and I and Dr. Bill, because, you know, it's not what we're made of. We want everybody to succeed and succeed at the highest level possible. Because it is just, you know, our industry, you know, the industry of dentistry is relatively small in the grand scheme of things. And unfortunately, you know, some people need to be a little bit more skeptical. You know, Han and I are very skeptical. And as you've already proclaimed, that you're a pretty skeptical guy as well. And that's good. You've got to be skeptical, because, you know, don't just take the word of somebody. Do the research. And we've done, as you well know, we've done quite a lot of research ourselves. And when we saw this, both Han and I instantly said, we got to know more. We got to get him on the radio. We got to know more, because up until this point, we have said there's no one silver bullet. And I'm not saying today that this is a silver bullet, but darn near close. And, you know, I can see the applications in my head. I mean, just spinning in the possibilities in a new application, how easily it can be installed in an existing application, how easily it can be installed, and how the economies work so well, and it doesn't, you know, cost you an arm and a leg to deal with. You know, those filters that you were talking about, the one thing you didn't say is their cost. They are god-awful expensive. Yeah, they weigh 60 pounds, but they cost a ton of money to replace. You don't want to replace that thing every week. You go broke. But at the same time, you know, you've got to replace them appropriately. And we haven't even touched some of the other
things. We estimate 4 to 5 years just for what that's worth.
That's worth a lot on the life of our HEPA filters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 5 years on some of those filters. That's an unbelievable amount of ability to filter this thing out. And the biggest game changer is, yeah, we're talking COVID today, but what are we talking about tomorrow? Or what are we talking about when this thing morphs into something else or some other pathogen comes down the pike? Are we going to look at another complete shutdown? Well, without a system like this, the chances are good that you will be looking at another complete shutdown. You got to be able to protect. You're protecting yourself. You're protecting your staff. But mostly you're protecting your patients. And put it out there. You're right. Put a big billboard up. Put a big, you know, advertisement. Send it out on social media. Let everybody know that you're the safest dentist in town. And here's why. And heck, you may even get some more dental hygienists in, right?
In fact, I had for those 3 months, I couldn't even find a fill-in dental hygienist, and I had one come to my office yesterday, and I wasn't there, but she left some cookies. I gave her a call today, and she said, yes, I heard about your system, and anyway, she's going to be filling in for us next month. But it's like they're cool. Like they're seeking us out now, which is pretty cool. So.
That's really cool. Your system has become an HR product.
Yes, right. Yeah,
actually, I'm interested in reading the forum discussion where the dentists get beat up. All right, is it okay? Because
that one's not
you
one's
and I.
Not
you
on the,
you
on
and I
we
read
were.
Basically the same stuff. Okay, but. Yeah, they shouldn't be too rough on the on the dentist, because I think overall not just as business owner but as human being, the majority of the people that I encounter that everybody call dentists are decent folks but really truly honestly care about their staff and their patients. If you look at the equipment and the apparatus that's available in the marketplace and you look at how much it costs,
if just cost alone, it would scare the hell out of a lot of folks. But, you know, I've known plenty of people have already, you know, write the check and invest into the equipment that's necessary to improve the air quality within their office. And whether it's yours or anybody else, anything that they can do to make the improvement at whatever level is better than nothing. Okay. So if they're going to invest, just invest in something that will take them for the long run, that create less headache, that create less work, less worry. They should check. They should check out your system. Actually, that's what I'm saying.
And the
okay?
system that
Absolutely.
Works. That's the big thing. A system that really, really works. Well, we're real thankful that you've got a chance to spend time with us. You know, to our listeners, get a hold of the doc, grab his website, look over the stuff. If you have any questions, you know, get a hold of him. We really like what we see. Now, we're not the ones investing in it. You are, just like always. You got to make the final decision. So, you know, please feel free. If you have any questions, you get a hold of us, get a hold of the doctor. We're, you know, we're here to help. With that, Han, I will say thank you to everybody. But, Han, I'll let you have the last word.
Hey, David, again, appreciate your time. Thank you for spending the hour with us and give us a little bit more education. Meanwhile, appreciate everyone spending the hour with us. Can we have fun? Hope you learn a lot of stuff. And until next time, stay safe. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.